today was uneventful. This ominous number of 616 seems to be growing, I think. People seem to be talking about it, and I'm beginning to wonder what your impressions could be in terms of the revelation, where they talk about this and the sign of the beast. Does this concern you at all? Or, you know, as a priest, I assume you practice this and you believe it.
Well, I believe it, but I'm a New Testament scholar who also teaches the, you know, proper understanding, as we would say, of the New Testament should be within its own original historical context in the first century. And so, although the New Testament obviously has applications for Christians of our own day and age, we need to understand its original context, where the Book of Revelation was written to encourage the Christians who were suffering quite severe persecutions, maybe, in some parts of the Roman Empire near the end of the first century. And so, giving them encouragement, but also talking about the evils maybe that they saw around them in the Roman Empire, they couldn't come out directly to say, you know, Emperor Nero is a big evil beast,
right.
But they had to do so in symbolic code language. And so the Book of Revelation chapter 13 talks about anyone who has understanding can calculate the number of the beast. It is the number of a person, and that number is 666, although some biblical manuscripts already also have 616, as you mentioned. There's both of those numbers, 616 or the more popular 666, could be connected pretty easily to Emperor Nero in the middle of the first century.
Some people believe that, of course, the Antichrist is on this planet now, that the number may be a microchip, the number may include your ability to buy and sell goods.
Yes.
Without this number, you're not going to be able to exist in society. Are they taking all this out of context?
I would say yes. Many people believe those sorts of things, but I'd say they're certainly not taking it out of the Bible, or they're taking little portions of the Bible and combining them in different ways with each other, taking them out of their original historical biblical context, and therefore adding a lot of extra speculation or extra meaning to it from their own ideas or other context to look forward maybe to the end of the world, whether in fear or anticipation, and all that they expect to happen before the world ends, Jesus comes back, the Antichrist is born, and so forth. But, you know, if you just look at the word Antichrist alone, the New Testament does not say there is one and only one Antichrist as this big evil figure kind of counterpart to Jesus himself. Rather, the word Antichrist, which doesn't appear in the book of Revelation at all, it appears in the first and second letters of John, refers to anyone who is opposed to the teachings of Jesus being the Christ or Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. So it's not just one figure there. Of course, it has been connected with that over the centuries as people think, well, if Jesus is the Savior, then there must be one evil counterpart to him to be the leader of all the evil forces in the world.
Do you believe in prophecy? I mean, do you believe that the book of Revelation is accurate and that that is going to become our fate?
I believe in prophecy, but I always teach my students that the popular understanding today of prophecy is not the same as what biblical prophecy really is. We think of prophecy in the sense of foretelling the future, looking into a crystal ball sort of thing. That is not what biblical prophecy originally was. The biblical prophets are, you know, the word prophemi doesn't mean speaking in advance of time, but rather speaking on behalf of someone. Biblical prophets speak on behalf of God, and they interpret, so to speak, through God's eyes, what's going on in the world. And that might be about the future, but it's also about the present and the past. The prophets are interpreting life situation in the world for people to tell them how to react, how to stay on the good path, or how to repent from the evil path they may be on. It's not just crystal ball gazing into the future, no.
Is the future bright for us, Father?
I would think so, yes. I mean, there are obviously problems in the world, but that's the basic message of the book of Revelation, which is not only restricted to the first century, but is valid for all time, namely that there is a battle between good and evil going on in our world. That's been going on in the first century at the time the book was written. It's going on today. It will be going on and however long the earth still exists. But as Christian believers, we would say we know the ultimate outcome, that God will ultimately win over evil, that good people may be suffering in this day and age or in the times of the Romans, when the book of Revelation was written first, but that the hope of believers is that God will ultimately vindicate the righteous, will ultimately reward those who are good and punish those who are evil, maybe to set things right, which may be not right in this world right now.
Didn't all past civilizations believe that we were in end times?
Many people have believed that through the millennia, yes. Not all the time. Some people have thought of more of a cyclical view of history or time going on forever. But certainly with the number of passages in the New Testament and the Old Testament also, which talk about some decisive day of God's intervening in human history. In the Hebrew Bible, it's often called the Day of the Lord. In the New Testament, it's sometimes referred to as the Second Coming or the Coming of Jesus, that there would be some kind of a radical break with history as we know it. And yet, that's not just the end, because don't forget the book of Revelation doesn't end with all the destruction that people usually think of in the apocalyptic type of imagery. It ends with a new heavens and a new earth and a new Jerusalem, and those who are the believers who are saved are in company of God for the rest of eternity. So it ends on a very, very positive note. It should not give people fear, but rather give them hope.
Well, Father Felix, if, let's say, government comes up to you one day and says, Father, you're going to have to put this chip in your arm, but that'll allow you to buy and sell goods and to function in society, would you do it?
You know, I'd hesitate a little bit, but I'm not sure I wouldn't do it, because I wouldn't think that the Bible or the Book of Revelation tells me I can't. I wouldn't directly connect it with any particular verse from the Book of Revelation. I think all those kinds of connections are just a little bit far-fetched. On the other hand, there may be good reason to hesitate, just like we know about identity theft these days. All the electronic storage of credit card numbers and so forth has made it easier for a problem like identity theft in the same way. Maybe having a chip implanted in you may lead to some aspect of life in the future being even easier than they are for today, but it may also raise new problems. And so we shouldn't be totally fearful and rejecting any new technologies, and yet maybe we should be cautious of going down the road of George Orwell and 1948 or 1984 too much, you know.